Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Welcome to the program. It's Bowerly. The previous guest was State Senator George Borrello and the work zone speed camera situation. We obviously have two different viewpoints on that. And my phone was going crazy. I didn't look at my phone until the end of the interview, but I guess you guys thought it was okay, and I'm happy about that. And it's nothing personal. It's strictly business, just so we're on the same page. Now, I want to go to a gentleman. I use the term with all intent. I want to talk about how young is too young for your kid to hunt, because Poland Cars has vetoed an Erie County legislature bit of legislation that would have allowed hunting for two-year-olds. For young teenagers. Joining us right now is Rich Davenport, Big Game Committee Chairman for Erie County Federation of Sportsmen and New York State Conservation Council. He's been on the show before. Rich, thank you very much. Oh, I got to press the button. Rich, thanks very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Hello, Tom.
Oh, there we go. Rich, you can hear me.
Actually, Tom, it's Dr. Harris. I apologize.
We've got a problem here. I had you in at 4 o'clock, but it was 3 o'clock.
4 o'clock.
Oh my God. all right. Yeah. That's again, you know, that's on me. Folks, let me hold on here because we're going to have to change gears here, and that's okay because I'm prepped and I'm ready. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to be very, very honest and frank with you. I had COVID. And I'm not going to use this as an excuse forever, but I'm a little messed up, okay? I screwed up the time for George Borrello. I don't do those things. And I screwed up the time for Dr. James Harreth. So Rich Davenport, I'm sure we'll talk to later on. We had better talk to Dr. Jane Orient and figure out what time she's going to be on. I apologize to you, my listening audience. I wanted to talk about kids and hunting this hour. And it is totally my fault. And all I can think of is, I mean, I cannot remember the last time I screwed up the time a guest was going to be on. And to do it now twice in 2 hours, that's definitely brain fog. Now, if you have questions about the local COVID situation, Dr. Harreth is with Kaleida. He is an internal medicine expert. And I would obviously like to take your questions first at 803-0930, 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Dr. Harreth is not going to answer your questions on kids and hunting, okay? I think that would be a little bit out of his bailiwick. But if you, and folks, the mistake is totally on me. I'm not going senile. It is, I'm afraid it's one of those. I really do think it's, come on, if it's never happened before and then suddenly it happened, it's got to be brain fog. I just don't do this. I'm not that sloppy. Joining us now is Dr. James Harreth. Hey, before we get into all the other things I want to talk about, I guess I'm finding out that brain fog is a real thing when it comes to COVID. How many people get it, and is it like kind of getting Alzheimer's?
Almost, yeah. Actually, Tom, that's an excellent segue. I'm wondering whether you did it on purpose.
No, I did. Believe me, I did not. I'm embarrassed like you wouldn't believe.
It is. We are learning more and more about these long hauler symptoms. So brain fog, irritability, forgetting things, along with anosmia, inability to be able to smell, more and more of these chronic fatigue, don't let me forget that, and muscle aches, but more of the fatigue, a number of hospital clinics are actually following along these patients, with these symptoms in order to be able to, number one, it's good for research nationally, in order to be able to help this population. But two, we want to help our local population as well. But no, as more and more patients recover from COVID, a lot of these long-haul symptoms we're going to continue to follow.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I'm truly embarrassed. I'm not smart enough to have planned that out in advance. If you have COVID questions for Dr. James Harreth, he is with us now. We'll get back to the whole hunting thing coming up. You have no idea, guys, how embarrassed I am. One of the other things, and I don't mean to make this about me, because there are a lot of people listening who have also been through COVID, but one of the other things I've noticed, I keep on hearing it's an inflammatory disease, and I have to tell you that I am prone to gout in my left big toe, and it is as bad now as it has ever been, and I haven't really eaten red meat, and it's also in my right thumb. Is that a common side effect for people?
It's one of the common side effects, yes, and other is going to also be a regular myositis, so muscle pain, muscle discomfort. So even with people who get the vaccination series, with the mRNA, we are actually, introducing the mRNA that will help transcribe the production of the spike protein, so that way our body can then create the antibodies to the spike protein that are that is on this virus. Just that spike protein and response to that spike protein, many people feel pretty ill and have this inflammatory response, this achiness afterwards. So yes, it's very common.
Now, something else too. People have attempted to call me out on this, but they're wrong, because the CDC did in fact change the definition of a vaccine on the CDC's website. Before they made the change, a vaccination was the act of introducing a vaccine into the body to produce immunity to a specific disease. The word immunity has now been switched to protection. So for the people who say, oh, you got that wrong, I didn't get it wrong.
I agree. It gets into, other aspects of, hey, does the vaccine work? And what does that mean, work? What is our definition? What do we want out of the vaccine? That's what it comes down to. And again, that's a sticking point, and it's tough for the our population, the national population, to understand that. And we, as the medical community, need to define it. And as it changes, or what our goals are, we need to blare and tell this, out loud to the community, hey, these are what our goals are. Are the goals to prevent symptomatic disease? Are the goals to prevent transmission of disease? Are the goals to prevent hospitalization? Are the goals to prevent death? All the above. But as the disease changes, which it is, then our goals may have to change too, but we have to be transparent about it.
Now, I want to cover some of the questions that I think are likely to come up. And by the way, we're talking with Dr. James Harreth. He's with Kaleida. He's local. And if you have questions about this, about the what they call a vaccine, I would like to hear them. And again, I apologize to Rich Davenport, who I thought was going to be on, and I have no good explanation except COVID brain fog. This just does not happen to me. It really doesn't. 803-0930 is the phone number. *930 on the cell phone. And 1-800-616-WBEN. Tim Wenger just came down and just pointed an accusing finger at me. I'm sorry, I got to laugh about this stuff. All right, getting back to it. One of the things that I find frustrating is I don't know whom to believe anymore about COVID and or the vaccine. And let me just give you one example. As you know, I had a case of COVID, which acutely was a two-day thing. It was like having a mild to moderate chest cold with a fever of 101. It started on a Friday, and by Sunday evening, I was well enough to leave the house. You left the house? Yeah, because I was told my test was negative. I didn't find out it was positive until 8 days after the actual sample was collected. And when I left the house, I wore a mask. I told people I had a cold. I stayed as far away from people as possible. Nobody I came into contact with got COVID. So I want you guys to know that. I would be devastated if that was the case. But now, my question for you is, some people say, well, Tom, if you didn't get the vaccine, you would have died. And I'm wondering, well, was it the fact that I got the vaccine, or was it the fact that the Delta variant of COVID by its nature is more contagious but has less lethality than Alpha?
Well, you bring up a lot of points there. So what we are seeing here is that more likely with the vaccine, you are able to limit what you experience to mild symptoms instead of severe symptoms, hospitalization, or death. You know, so, and then with regarding the Delta variant, what we are finding is not only is it more transmissible, but we're also seeing that it is more lethal. We're seeing more morbidity, more mortality with this variant. Not necessarily here in Western New York. I have to admit, New York and Western New York, we're doing a good job at trying to get vaccinated and do the right thing. Other parts of the country, we really are seeing what Delta variant is doing in the unvaccinated population.
Okay, but now I want to get back to this idea of a vaccine. How many breakthrough cases of a disease do you need to see before you say a vaccine isn't a vaccine, it's a medicine?
Oh, my goodness. Well, and then that also is kind of complex because you breakthrough cases in the setting of herd immunity, which is the goal of a vaccine, or breakthrough cases in the setting of a population that's not even close to herd immunity. So I think we're trying to define what this vaccine is or what it does for us. So it's still a work in progress, but in all honesty, I do believe the purpose of this vaccine, and I hope it does be considered a vaccine, is to prevent serious illness, death, hospitalizations, and transmissibility. So hopefully, you know, it'll be like, you know, it's like, hey, you remember your friend who had measles? No, you don't, because, you know, we're so vaccinated, really not a lot of measles, mumps, rubella, polio cases because of that.
Okay, now another question that people are going to ask, and I'm going to start taking calls here in a minute on WBEN, 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN with Dr. James Harreth. Another question I have is, okay, so, and I think I speak for a lot of people out there, we got the jabs. We also got COVID. Why would we possibly need a booster shot when conceivably we should have natural and quote unquote vaccinated immunity?
So that is another good question. So what we're finding is that after 6 months with the Pfizer vaccine, I'm going to talk about in particular, there's more data coming out in Moderna regarding the Pfizer mRNA vaccine. We are finding that after 6 months, that the effectiveness of the vaccine, which means severe illness and hospitalization, goes from 97% closer to 84%. You know, so, but this is a vaccine developed for the Alpha variant as well. So the virus is changing the game on us. So what we're now seeing is that we are getting breakthrough cases not just because of a decrease in our own innate immunity, but we now have a different player, you know, that's coming at us that actually multiplies in our body much faster. So that would would be a reason in order to get a booster. And then, what is the definition of a booster? Now, would we consider this a booster? Or since we realize that we're going to have changes in the virus, are we going to consider it more of a three-shot series? And that's what we're calling it for those people who are immunocompromised. Initially, what we saw, not just here in Western New York, but nationally, is that the patient population that is immunocompromised, whether it's for a medical condition or medications they're on, they're the ones that were getting the breakthrough cases. So they were getting a three-shot series. You know, so, and then what we're now finding with the Delta variant, is that a good part of the population that they're going to need a shot at after 6 months. If they fit a certain criteria.
What about people who naturally defeated COVID? Why would they need a booster shot? Like we conceivably, I should have, and all the people listening who are fellow COVID survivors, there are many of us, can't we be said to have achieved natural immunity?
We were going to say that originally with the Alpha variant. Then we realized, then afterwards with Delta variant, it's like, oh, shoot, they're just like the unvaccinated. They were acting like the unvaccinated. They got just as sick. You know, so we're now finding that with the vaccine, we may be protected for variants beyond Delta. At least that's the hope. But I have to also put this caveat. There are many things we do not know, and I want to be the first to say that is, you know, as this virus changes the game, you know, we in the medical community need to pass that on, you know, to the population is, we don't know everything, and I'll be the first one to say that we don't know everything, but that's the best information we have at the time.
All right. Now, I am going to take telephone calls for Dr. James Harreth coming up after the news break, but I'm going to repeat a question that I've also asked of Dr. Peter McCullough and Dr. Jane Orient, who's going to be on with us in a little while. I'd best double check the time of that interview so I don't screw up three in a row. That would be a hat trick. I'd expect you to throw hats at me on the street tonight. But as far as the trustworthy sources, my biggest frustration in covering this has been, at this point, I honestly do not know whom to believe. Do I believe the CDC when I can go back and look at like at least five major things it got wrong? Do I believe the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons? Do I believe the guy who called in who says if I just take supplements, everything's going to be okay? Whom do I believe?
Oh my gosh. You know, that's something that, you know, myself and my colleagues are also dealing with as well. So at this point, if you trust your primary care physician, I would say, why don't you talk to your primary care physician, you know, from the get-go? I think that's really, really important. And myself. So where do I get my information? So I get my information from not just the CDC, but from the Society of Critical Care Physicians, Society of Chest Physicians, who are pulmonologists and critical care physicians, and look at their peer-reviewed articles. And then along with that, you know, the intensive care unit doctors here in Western New York, there's not a lot of us. We're a close-knit group. We work with our infectious disease docs as well. So we're able to also communicate with physicians who are across the nation as well, which is like real-time data. So all this other data that comes out of medical journals, it takes weeks and months in order to be able to, you know, have all that information collated and put together. So we look at multiple different sources, and we look at the sources that are real-time, which are our colleagues, and try to make sure that we continue to tailor the care for our patients so that we're not behind, but we're not too ahead of the curve that we're going to make a mistake.
We are at 803-0930. I'm going to let you guys ask all the questions about ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine and everything else. Dr. James Harreth is with us from Kaleida on News Radio 930 WBEN. And I'm going to double check the time. We have Dr. Jane Orient coming on from the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. So I want to double check the time on that. And I apologize to Rich Davenport and I apologize to you guys. And you know the excuse. I promise I'm not going senile. I promise it's COVID brain. It's fog. I'm Pasquale is looking at me like, dude, how do you screw up three things? It's actually been three things in one day, time-wise. I don't do that. I'm part German, for God's sake. I mean, we operate to the millisecond.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
All right, welcome, friends. It's Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. I don't mean to alarm anybody, but I left my flip-flops in the men's room. No, I did not leave. Anyway, welcome to the show, and we're going to take your calls. Dr. James Harith is here until 4, and I double-checked everything. We should get Rich Davenport on after 4 o'clock talking about kids and hunting and how young is too young to hunt. At 5 o'clock, Dr. Jane Orient with the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. I double-checked everything. Hopefully, Mr. Davenport is going to be able to join us. And, again, I don't want to make a big thing of it, but if you've had COVID, you understand that for some of you, not all of you, brain fog is a real thing. I don't screw up times. I mean, that just ain't me, and I've done it three times today. I got to laugh about it. If it continues, I'll retire. I mean, that's, you know, it would be unfair. I'll start showing up at 11 o'clock in the morning. Don't want to do that. Okay, let's get right to the calls. Pasquale, if you'd be so kind as to do the duties, because you know I'll probably hang up on somebody anyway, the way this is going. Here's Orlando in Dunkirk. You're on WBEN with Dr. James Harith. Go right ahead.
Yes. My question is, I'm 38 years old, I have asthma, and I caught COVID 2 times, possible 3, could have been the flu. I'm wondering why I'm still living.
Hey, so thank you for that question. So now,
was it confirmed that you had COVID on a test, or you said possibly the third time? So the first thing we need to do is determine, was it actually COVID?
Well, unfortunately, he asked the question, and then we like to have people listen on the radio to open up a line. So I apologize.
Okay, so it depends on when he got it as well. So we're dealing with a couple different variants, and we also know that natural immunity wanes, especially with the different strains. And what we also don't know is his additional risk factors. So as it is, asthma alone does not significantly increase your risk for severe disease with COVID. That's what the data says right now. But it's with a combination of other comorbidities, whether it's hypertension or obesity, diabetes, heart disease, or if you're immunocompromised. So I would have to say that maybe you are a very fit individual, which is very good, but I would encourage you to be vaccinated and to make sure that your friends are vaccinated as well, because somebody's giving you COVID.
How do you feel about the rapid test and its reliability? Because I don't think, unless you're a healthcare professional, few people have had as many rapid tests as I. They always came back negative, including the day they told me it was negative, and then 8 days later, the PCR test said positive.
Yes, and that's the problem with many rapid tests, not just for COVID as well, is that it's pretty much kind of like a screening test. If it's positive, it's very specific. But if it's not positive, then you have to rely on the PCR. And the accuracy is not what we want it to be. Boy, it's a tongue twister. I apologize. So we are continuing to try to improve, not just for outpatient, but for inpatient as well.
Yeah, because I do not trust rapid tests anymore. And for those, and I'm going to ask a question that I think is generally interesting for a lot of people. For those of us who have had and beaten COVID, at this point, the PCR test is rather useless because my understanding is it's so sensitive, it's going to pick up COVID for months, right?
That's correct. Yeah, you're gonna pick up dead shedding virus. Yeah, so usually after about 10 days of no longer being symptomatic is when we're saying that you shouldn't be able to transmit virus and infect other people.
Yeah, I'm very glad that I didn't infect a soul. Let's go back to the calls on WBEN. Here is Mark in Lewiston. I can't believe. Okay, Pasquale, I'm sorry. You got to get Dr. Harrith back on the line. I'm sorry. That's totally on me. Yeah, Dr. Harrith, you can call back. I apologize for that. That again is it's on me. I hit the wrong button. He'll call right back. That's mistake number four today. If I was like a football player right now, I'd be being booed off the field. Seriously, I feel like, hey, it's Bowerly from the 30. Field goal attempt. It's wide. Second shot. It's a chip shot. Bowerly. Oh, it's wide. By the fourth time, you guys be booing me off the field. But it's actually Pasquale's fault. I just think everybody should know that. I'm covering for Pasquale. Okay, Mark in Lewiston, you're on WBEN.
Hi, Tom. Don't worry about it. You're the exception that proves the rule.
I don't know to what, but go ahead.
Okay. So, generally, I've heard a few of my friends have had shortness of breath. That's a fairly common one. But one of my friends had numbness of the fingertips. It's basically constant. And it's worse than his thumbs and then descends on his fingers. And I'd heard about this Guillain-Barré syndrome, but that seems to come on fairly quickly. This has been ever since April that he's had this. And it's just in his fingertips.
Is that a common situation, Dr. Harrith?
No, it's not as common. So let's talk. So what first thing you mentioned was Guillain-Barré. So Guillain-Barré is usually an ascending paralysis. In other words, weakness in your lower extremities that kind of comes up your body that we would see usually in some vaccines. Not usually the mRNA vaccines. Going to be honest, it's usually we will see it in like a flu vaccine or other types of vaccines. Incredibly rare, but does occur. So not necessarily the tingling. So tingling I'd be a little bit more concerned about. You know, one would say, okay, is it blood flow, you know, or is it neurologic? You know, and if it's neurologic, then one would think, all right, if it's both sides but at the same dermatomal level or level in the spinal cord, is there something else going on? So I don't know from your question whether you said that he had COVID or not, but if he did, we know that COVID can cause coagulopathies, problem with clotting and problem with bleeding, especially with clotting. So one would think, you know, was there a clot that went to part of the spinal cord that is actually delivering impulses from the fingertips? You know, so I would definitely want to make sure that he's talking to his primary care physician and then maybe getting further evaluation imaging from a neurologist to kind of take a look at that.
Yeah, folks, it's Bowerly at WBEN, 803-0930. Dr. James Harreth is here. I do ask that you keep your COVID questions as general as possible. Dr. Harreth, every day I get videos from people with doctors. You know, they've got MDs just like you've got. I've talked with other doctors on the air talking about the number of deaths from the so-called COVID vaccine. Again, getting back to what does one believe who does not have MD after his or her name? Is this, in fact, the most dangerous so-called vaccine with the most VAERS reports that has ever been put out?
Going to be honest, you know, been here from the start of the pandemic, and I have yet to see a death here in Western New York, and we have a catchment area of, I believe, I was actually looking this up before I came on the air, of like almost like 2.8 million people. I haven't seen it yet. A direct, you know, as the vaccine being direct cause of death, side effects. Yes, we're seeing, and still very rare, but no, not death. Not seeing it here in Western New York, and nationally. Just not seeing it from the media outlets that I'm looking at. And media outlets isn't actually correct, but the sources of information that we're using.
See, Dr. Orient is going to give us a totally different answer. So it adds to the confusion of people such as myself. Let's get back to the calls. Dr. James Harreth is here. My hands are going nowhere near the phone the rest of the show. Tom in Pembroke, you're on WBEN with Dr. James Harreth.
Yes, I was wondering why there's a vaccine for something that's 99.8% survivable.
Interesting question, doctor.
Well, if it was 99.8% survivable, I don't know why we were needing refrigeration trucks in order to be able to help with the dead, and why we were also having our ICUs full. But not only that, it's not only just death. So let's talk about what else we're trying to do. We're trying to avoid hospitalization. So if we have this isn't like a flu case where if they get really, really sick, they may be dead in about 4 or 5 days, and that bed opens up. I'm not being cold. I'm being honest, because we have to make sure that we have beds for the entire population. So if we have an individual that's not dead or not going to die, but they are going to require an incredible amount of care and take up hospital beds, not for days, maybe more than weeks, to be completely honest, we then cripple the healthcare system, so that way we can't get elective surgeries or emergency surgeries, for that matter. So we actually cripple the healthcare system and can't help our communities.
And for the record, people who are new listeners to the show, I am fully vaccinated. I had COVID. And just so you guys know, I totally oppose vaccine mandates in this, for the simple reason that I do not believe enough longitudinal data exists. Dr. Harreth, what do you say to people like me who want more time to go by for all of the evidence to accrue?
I don't know. That's a tough question. And I'm a firm believer in not wanting to be the first person to prescribe a medication, nor the last. So by being the first, are you ahead of the curve and it turns out that it was detrimental? Or the last, it's like, geez, you didn't look at the information and many of your patients suffered because of it. What we are seeing is that this is a virus that is going to, we are going to come in contact with it. We are going to, and then we're going to suffer the effects of it. And what we're seeing is that we don't really have a luxury of time at this point.
And for the record, I know a lot of my audience thinks I'm crazy. I'm personally glad that I got the vaccine. Now, was that the reason I had a mild case of the acute symptoms? Was it the fact it was Delta? Was it the fact that I did supplements? I have no idea. But I'm glad that I got the vaccine because, you know, look, somebody's got to be the experimental group, and I'm happy to help you out. Dr. James Harith is here. He's with Kaleida. He's internal medicine, just like Dr. Jane Orient is internal medicine. Brian in Wilson, not to be confused with Brian Wilson, you're on WBEN.
Hey, I had two specific questions, but then hearing the doctor talk, I have a different one instead. The PCR test is the most reliable test, I mean, that everybody's told by all medical physicians, but the creator of the test itself said that it's not specific. It should not have been used specifically for COVID. So that's one question. The other one is, do you think it is going to be okay for people to be refused health care if they are not vaccinated?
Ooh, two great questions. Number one, I mean, I've been told the PCR test for COVID is the gold standard. And when I got tested, I actually went to two different places for PCR. Both were positive. So is it specifically for COVID or what?
So, and again, you know, the original test wasn't specifically for COVID. We had no ability. I mean, this is globally. This was a brand new virus, you know, brand new proteins. It's like, is trying to take stuff off the shelf and try to make it work. Right now, yes, PCR is definitely the gold standard. And as time goes on and as the virus changes, we're going to have to change with it and be able to make these tests more and more, well, number one, more cheap, more accurate, and more accessible. And those are the very important things. The other question with regarding the denying health care for – that could probably be a semester of a lecture, to be completely honest. Now, I'm a physician. I took an oath. I took an oath to do no harm. I don't care what your race is, your creed, your beliefs. If you're sick and you're in front of me, and I, myself, and my team, we're going to take care of you. Okay, and that for me is going to be the most important thing. And with regarding, you know, any politics or anything like that, I'm going to keep that to myself. But I'm going to tell you, I'm a physician, and I want to help you.
What do you think of doctors who are refusing to treat people who did not get vaccinated for whatever reason, religious, medical?
I don't agree with it. That's not what we – as a physician, that is not my job. It is a calling. I chose to go to medical school. I chose to do I chose to be altruistic and to put my patients above my family and my own beliefs. So to me, that makes me sick. I am very fortunate that I work with a wonderful set of nurses and pharmacists and physicians who focus on the patient in front of them, independent of their own belief.
Let's get back to the calls. My hands are tucked away under my buttock so I don't hit the wrong button again. Here's Tony in Amherst with Dr. James Harith. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, Doctor and Tom.
Sir.
I got a quick question for you. And correct me if I was wrong and I misunderstood you. Your best advice when it comes to the vaccine is to consult with your doctor and make that decision forward. Is that correct?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. When we have football stadiums and governors forcing this vaccine, and I'll tell you, I wouldn't want to be one to force a vaccine, especially if something bad ever happened to somebody. Why aren't these doctors standing up and along with the general public and saying, listen, this cannot be forced on somebody with illnesses, with comorbidities, or whatever their case may be. If a doctor tells you no, why aren't more doctors standing up for that purpose?
I am actually not too sure. So, again, healthcare is becoming more and more individualized. You know, so it really is on an individual basis. You know, so there are very, very few cases that I have personally encountered where it's like, you know, I don't think the vaccine, a potential risk of the vaccine, you know, outweighs the benefit, you know, and that's where it may be a little bit different. So I'm not too sure, but you do bring up a really good point of, you know, having politics mixed into it is just completely tainted everything.
But I think a lot of us would like to see more doctors stand up and say, hey, there are legitimate medical reasons and religious reasons why we ought not to be forcing this vaccine on everybody. And, you know, we're losing people from healthcare itself who are being denied or maybe denied in New York State religious exemptions and who are being denied medical exemptions.
Yes, I agree. Everything needs to be individualized. We've got to take the politics out of it. Yeah, so that is, for me, has been the difficult part, you know, for the last year and a half, is trying to get the politics out of it. You know, have it with the patient, the physician, or the healthcare provider, and do what is best for that patient.
Indeed.
For the population.
Well, doctor, it's a pleasure talking with you. I know we're going to get you on again. It's been far too long. I am glad you joined us, and I apologize for the faux pas on the time. That is going to haunt me the rest of the day, and it's always a pleasure. And I'm going to tell you something. I am, whether or not it made my COVID experience more like a mild chest cold than a full-blown case of, oh, my God, I'm never going to get better, I'm glad I got the shots. But I will never support any mandates that everybody get them. I do believe it's a question of people consulting with their primary care physicians and figuring out, as you said, individualized, what is best for them.
Yes, and Tom, I can't thank your listening audience enough. Those were fantastic questions.
Oh, these are a really smart bunch of people. Thank you so much, Dr. Harith. We'll talk soon.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right, Dr. James Harith. Now, coming up at 5 o'clock, Dr. James Orient will be back with us, the executive director of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. And now her answers, I'm going to tell you, they're going to be different in some cases than Dr. Harith's answers. And again, I've said this before, and I might as well repeat myself since I'm rather fond of doing that, apparently. I have a big frustration, and the biggest frustration I have is I want to make sure that I hook you guys up with facts. The question I always have is, well, who has the facts? And I'm not sure who has the facts. I'm not trained as a scientist. I'm not trained as a doctor. I am glad I got the so-called vaccine. I will never know whether or not that had anything to do with the fact that I'm back on the air at this point and I'm not on a ventilator. I'll never know that.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.